At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPerksonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Dueling Review. This week, we are taking a look at Samurai Sonya number 1 from Dynamite Entertainment. Let's take the concept of a warrior woman and put her in a different time period. Now, don't have a problem with that. Except that Samurai Sonya is in no way relation to Red Sonya. She's not a descendant of thousands of years.
Right.
But it's just a samurai.
Yeah.
It's just a samurai book.
I think that this kind of falls into that same... did you read Sonya Versal?
No. This also doesn't say that this is... This also doesn't say that it's part of the Sonyaverse.
But it is. So, Red Sonya is only one of many Sonyas across the universe, as the Beatles would say. Because there was a yellow Sonya and a blue Sonya. There's like a steampunk Sonya, and there's Sonyas from the future and the past, and there's a Sonya with a mecha robot, and there's like worlds of Sonyas.
Well, they need to say that this is a Sonyaverse tie-in or book or something like that. Because this just says Samurai Sonya. And it doesn't say this is part of the Sonyaverse. Just says Sonya, daughter of a slain samurai, is eager to prove herself worthy of her family's glorious history.
But it's a Red Sonya. It's a Red Sonya book.
Well, yes, but again, this is the same problem that DC has. Put a goddamn stamp on your frickin' book if you're in Earth 72, and put a different stamp on the book when you're in Earth 1. That's all you gotta do.
Wow.
Sorry. Sorry. I apologize, dear listeners.
Okay.
That's all they got to do is put a little thing on there, a little sticker. They can even get a little gold foil printout and have one of their office managers that's there peeling off there and stick it on there. And they could probably charge an extra buck for this book because they got their foil sticker on there that says a Sonyaverse tie-in.
That being said, this is a fairly
generic story.
It is.
Fairly generic comic book.
I feel like we've read this entire issue with Red Sonya. I feel like we've read this book. Yeah, I feel like this particular story, it does have some specific touches, you know, to tie it into a Japanese experience and to try and, you know, give it, I don't want to say flavoring, because there's a lot more than just like flavoring here. There's a lot of stuff, but
I mean, there's
a sea monster,
promise to a dragon. There's a cool Buddhist samurai monk that she puts on.
There's a Amaterasu. There's a whole bunch of gratuitous Japanese that pops up. I mean, there's stuff here that really ties this to kind of an Edo period samurai
it
adventure.
It says it is a Sengoku period.
Oh, forgive me. So you have that, but the basic story is... young woman, family all dies. Yep. She makes a vow. She fights a giant monster. And now she's going to walk the earth having adventures and chopping people up. I mean, nothing wrong.
What's the one with the evil devil samurai, Sonya? What's that one that you've read? That
was Sonya Versal. That's Hell Sonya.
Hell Sonya. See, at least she's got something that's like, she's got a hook, right? and like Purple Sonya, the Purple Sonya book, right?
Yeah, Purple Sonya is the like one it, in the future with the giant robot.
Yeah, it feels like it has a hook. They could have just named this like Samurai, I don't know, something else. There's nothing here that makes this a Sonya book, right? She doesn't even have red hair.
Most of the alternate Sonyas don't.
Well, yeah, I don't know. So here's the thing. The story is fine. There's nothing wrong with the story. If you're into like feudal Japan type stuff, if you're into samurais, if you're into Lady Samurais, ooh, that should have been a movie in the 80s. Lady Samurai. If you're into those kinds of things, I think that this is a fine start off issue. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with the way the story is written. In fact, I kind of like it, right? She's going to hunt down the man that killed her paw. And they're attacked by monsters. I'm thinking of Cowboy Sonya. That's the next series, right?
I can't remember her name, but there is one.
I know there's a Cowboy Sonya. She only wears boots and a metal bikini in the Old West. You know, like I said, there's a sea serpent attack. She's making a pact with the dragons. It's actually kind of cool, right? But it's, as a Sonya story goes, doesn't feel like a Sonya story. It feels like a generic Lady Samurai. Again, would have been a great 80s movie. It just feels like that. I don't know what you think about the story, Matthew.
I mean, I am not the biggest Red Sonya fan. And a lot of times when I read like just an individual issue of Red Sonya that isn't like a crossover or a big weird wild hook like the Hell Sonya or the Sonya Versal, I'm just kind of like, okay, that's fine. And that's really kind of how I feel about this. I feel like somebody did a lot of, you know, research. Somebody was like, hey, we're going to look into this and we're going to see, you know, what's the deal. We're going to have this relatively historically accurate Onimusha as our main character. We're going to do all of this stuff. And, you know, I fine. And all is good. And I really, really loved the solicit cover that you put up like what, 2-3 months ago, whenever the previews came out, the Perio cover, which is kind of almost a photorealistic face where she's drawing her sword.
Yeah. That's the main cover. The main cover.
Yeah. The primary cover is beautiful. I love that art. And I came in here thinking, boy, even if the book isn't good to read, as long as it looks like that, I'm sold. And it doesn't.
Well, I mean, that in itself is a lifelong discussion that will never end. Oh, yeah. Right. Because everybody talks about this. It feels like at times there's a little bait and switch going on when you see this fantastic cover. Doesn't matter. This is Perillo is the the artist.
Ryan Perillo, I believe, is his name.
Perillo. Okay. You know, you get this great looking cover and you're like, holy crap, I'm buying this just because the art, if that's what the inside is, I can't wait to get home. And then you open it up and it's stick figure stuff. and then you're like, son of a, and always been the case, right? I mean, you get a great Neil Adams cover, but you don't get Neil Adams inside art. You get a great, an Alex Ross cover and you don't get Alex Ross on the inside.
Are you threatening me?
Yes. So, yeah, I can understand why. And again, that's never going to go away. There are a large number of artists who do great cover work who may not, and I'm not saying about this artist in particular, but it would take too long for them to do the interiors.
Yeah, and I get that.
Quilano, I believe, is the interior artist.
Pasquale Quilano, yeah.
Yeah. I don't hate this interior art. It's very flat, which is probably my biggest complaint. This is one that, you know, one of the Dynamite House styles that we talk about a lot is the really heavy contrast that they have in the shadows.
Yeah.
Even when there's like no reason to have really dark, heavy shadows, this one doesn't have it. It's almost like there's no shading, but you do have lines. You do have lots of lines, right. Not for the shading. So just imagine an outline around every part of your body, but that you're flat shaded. It's an interesting look. It is a different look. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not the cover. I don't hate the art in this. I mean, I don't hate the story in this.
Right.
She fights a giant skeleton at the end.
It's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Colano did, not only did the Hell's Sonya and part of the Sonyaversal, Colano just came off of, DC versus Vampires.
Oh yeah. That's a,
yeah. I think that's in, that's still ongoing now that I think of it. I thought it was over, but I may be thinking of Deceased. But yeah, and you know, I feel like the interiors on this book are, again, they're just fine, but mm-hmm. there's not really anything to me. Again, you know, I don't come in here as a huge fan of Red Sonja, but I'm also not a huge Red Sonja detractor. I really like the layouts. I like the construction of the armor. I like how she brings down the big giant skeleton. And the big giant skeleton is intimidating as heck.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you're right. Something about,
yeah, something about just the coloring or the production does really feel kind of flat. And as far as the actual coloring goes, this book is just overwhelmingly amber. It's kind of like brown and gold and gold and brown.
Yeah, you got to. It's Red Sonja, right? So you got to use those heavy golden colors in here. Except when you're in the water, then everything is blue. But yes, there is an over reliance on warmer colors throughout. Yep. Which I don't know. I think when you think of, you know, a Japanese tale, especially, you think of those evening sunsets and everything, where everything is all lit up orange and yellows and everything. So I can see that.
See, I picture like much more vivid reds and blues.
Yeah,
and
so that
yellows,
is the one thing is there is, you know, you can't have a lot of reds, but we need to talk about the vividness. And these are very washed out colors.
Yeah, they're very, very desaturated. And, you know, when I think of blues, I think of like the Sakai does very good. The blues of like Usagi Yojimbo.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the blues of, to me, a traditional samurai type story. And I'm just, again, there is absolutely nothing wrong with this book. I feel like the interiors are good. There's a, you know, a really great emotional sequence where she's falling to her death. She's going to drown. And then we cut in and it's this three panel sequence. And then we zoom in on her face and she has this look of awe and fear and, you know, and we cut to the next panel, literal goddess right in front of her face. I'm like, okay, that is a great facial expression mm-hmm. for coming face to face with your goddess. And yet I still come out of this book just going like, yeah, okay. That'd be, yeah, I don't know. That's what about.
Yeah. I think this book should have been marketed as something different, as opposed to Samurai Sonja.
I don't know if like, a traditional samurai tale not tied to an existing property is something that's necessarily going to get like an ongoing order from,
well,
from your Boom or your IDW.
I don't think that Dynamite is going to turn this into an ongoing. This feels very much like, hey, we got five issues of this thing and we're done. And now it's on to the next thing, which granted, there's nothing wrong with that, because one of the nice things about doing a 5-issue miniseries is after the end of 5 months, you see what the demand is. And if everybody's like, oh, yes, we really love this samurai tale, the cowboy tale, not so much, then they'll know that, oh, we need to bring Samurai Sonja back as another limited miniseries, volume 2, and we can tell another exciting tale. So there is some thought into that, right? Let's test the market, see how this goes, and see what happens. And one could even argue that the Sonyaversal book, when you were introduced to all the different Sonyas, was that tryout where you then go onto social media and see which are the Sonyas that everyone is talking about. And that's what mm-hmm. you do your spinoff books on.
Right. Orange Sonja was a cyborg. Yellow Sonja was like a steampunk person. I think there was like a Sonja who was a nun, Nun Sonja.
I don't know. I think this is a fine book. I think that the story is really kind of interesting. I think it really plays into the myths of Japan. There's some kind of mm-hmm. demon guy. I'm guessing he's an Oni or something at the end. That I think is really cool. I like the giant skeleton. I like the sea serpents. I like the meeting of the goddess. I like all that stuff. This is a really cool book from that. But it's still kind of just so-so. I'm not sure if you're not a samurai fan, if you're not a fan of those kind of books, I'm not sure that this is going to interest you. And so, again, it just goes back to my thought that this is just an okay book.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I feel like this is going to be something that if you are loving all of the Red Sonja titles and you're like immersed in Sonja and you really want some Sonja, but you want something that has, you know, a slightly different era or like a slightly different kind of tone or flavor or whatever you want to call it, I feel like this is the book for you. Mm-hmm. If you're really into seeing, you know, something with those traditional samurai during that, samurai era, 700 years when there were samurai,
7,000 years of samurais wandering alone.
Basically, somewhere between the 12th century and the American Civil War, in that time frame, that is where the samurai are.
We need more samurai stories set in the middle of the Civil War in the United States.
I think that would be interesting because there were active samurai, well, theoretically, samurai were legally abolished in 1876, so it is possible, it is logically acceptable, possible for one of those last samurai to like end up in Dodge City.
That wasn't that wasn't the premise of High Noon, was it? What was Jackie Chan's character? He wasn't a samurai, was he? He was just a protector of the princess.
When did that even take place?
Like in the 2000s.
Huh, Shanghai Noon?
Yeah, Shanghai Noon. Yeah.
No, I meant like when was it set?
Oh, it was set during the American Old West. Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I don't remember if Jackie Chan was. Well, it's got Owen Wilson in it, so I haven't seen it. I feel like
it just says a Chinese man travels to the Wild West to rescue a kidnapped princess. Doesn't say anything about.
Well, then he definitely wasn't a samurai if he was a Chinese imperial guard.
That's true. Don't want to mix those up. Yes, that is.
It is an entirely different culture.
Different culture, different group of people.
Yep. So no, Jackie Chan was not a samurai. However, if he was a Qing Dynasty guard, he had a similar role, and I'm sure it's easy to conflate those from a Western perspective.
Well, but pretty much the minute he's on American soil, he's wearing Western gear.
Like, a leather outfit.
His name was Sean Wang or something like that.
Sean Wang. Yeah. Now I remember that because it had Lucy Liu in it.
Yes, exactly.
And Lucy Liu was like 22 in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Dynamite Entertainment. I don't denounce you or anything for releasing this book. Right. I think that you need to put a little sticker on there that says this is a Sonjaversal book. I think that would be something that would let people know, oh, I want to get this besides just Sonja. Again, that's not a typical name that you're going to find in Japan. Third thing that I would suggest, if you want to continue to do these kinds of things and maybe sell a few more copies and see what people's takes are on Samurai Sonja or Purple Sonja or whatever it is, drop the price of this first issue to $2.99.
Mm-hmm.
Take a loss on the first issue. You're going to sell more, right? It means you get a bigger discount on your printing. You'll probably make some money. But then you'll be able to carry those people through. They're going to look on the stands and they're going to say, not only is this great cover art, this book is $2.99. All these rest of these chumps are trying to sell me for $5.99 for their Superman book. I'm going to go with this $2.99 book. And if everyone knows that Dynamite books for the first issue are always $2.99, I bet you're going to sell a little bit more. Doesn't mean you have to take out the quality, because you'll either make it up in volume or you'll make it up by the fifth issue when people are buying more of the fifth issue than they would on the first issue at $3.99. So I think that those would be three things that I would suggest on this book and any book that you do that's a tie into this. Sonjaversal sticker, lower the price, and whatever the third thing was that I said. Make sure your cover art matches the interior. No.
Yeah.
No, that's not really a big deal to me. This is an okay book. Okay. I don't want to discount what Jordan Clark has done or the artist Quilano. I think they're both, it's fine. It's very good work. Okay. It's just, it doesn't feel like a Sonja book to me. And so therefore I feel like I got to discount this a little bit and say that it is an average Sonya book.
Mm-hmm.
But a samurai book, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, if you ever, you know, you're walking around the universe and you're like, hey, should I just, you know, how would I say Namamita Butsu? That's how you would say it. I love that little bit where you're like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's almost, you know.
Yeah, you know, eat a Mickey Mouse.
They did their research. They did their stuff. You know, they have the character responding in a way that within the storyline makes perfect sense. And I feel like, honestly, if they had made one minor change, I think I might have been even happier with this. Because,
what is your minor change?
Shonya. Shonya. That is a Japanese name. Shonya.
So Shonya.
Yeah. If it had been Samurai Shonya, I would be like, oh, I get it. I see it.
Yeah, there is a bit where they do call out her name. Let me open it up here again. I just had it open. Because there is a bit where she's on the deck of the ship before the dragon attack.
Mm-hmm.
And they call out her name. Nope, it's straight up Sonya. Yeah. Nope.
Yep.
Yeah, so no, it needs... Shonya. Yeah.
General, I thought for a moment that General Ryu was an actual historical personage, but I'm like, the only General Ryu that I can find was a Korean hero, so I think something else. My brain was just like, nope, sorry. But, you know, I will say, opening page, that is a beautiful, beautiful ship.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a beautiful dragon on it. All the armor.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
Great.
I mean, there's a lot of things to like in this book. There's also a lot of things that I find problematic in this book. The coloring, I think, is probably the thing that is the least interesting.
Yes.
There's the weird photostat thing that I'm not a fan of in comics. You see that a lot in the water work. So you're talking about how great the ship looks. I look at the water waves and I'm like, oh yeah, they're trying to give a feeling of the classic Japanese wave paintings that the artist did. But this one feels like I'm photocopying something that I'm drawing over the top of it, and then I'm giving it a color wash. And I'm totally not a fan of that technique. I understand it's a technique, and there's nothing wrong with that technique from an art perspective. It's just not something that I like.
It's not my thing.
Yeah, so. It's not my thing. It might be your thing, and that's fine. But to me, it's not my thing. To me, it feels, and again, it's really weird when we talk digital art.
Yeah.
It, you know, if this, and I'm sure a lot of this, I'm almost certain all of this is digital art. But if this was a traditional art, it would, to me, feel, you know, if it was all hand drawn, it would feel cheap. Digital, it would feel like a shortcut.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's what I don't like about it. In a digital realm, man, just copy and paste everything from everywhere. It's fine. You're not a fan. You don't care.
I am not a fan. Like I say, the things about this that I enjoy are actually probably the side effect of it being partially digitally rendered. Like, you know, the detail of her armor, or how the skeleton is so consistent from panel to panel. The skeleton looks really great, and I'm like, they probably have some sort of modeler. You model the skeleton, you draw the skeleton, you do whatever you have to do. So, I mean, when it comes to art techniques, I don't necessarily feel the like problems that you do, because I don't always focus on that. Like when you said the water is a thing, I'm like, oh yeah, there is water there. Because I wasn't necessarily looking at the water. I was looking at, you know, the ghost fox and the Oni up on the top, and the discussion, you know, the people, the dancing people and the beautiful ship. And I'm like, that to me, that water is just sort of there, like as background, as sort of a, you know, like wallpaper. It's there, but it's not necessarily something that I had particularly looked at. And my thought was, oh yeah, that's actual water. They just digitally composited it. Okay, we're fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that if you love samurai story, if you love Red Sonja as a concept, as a thing, as an entity or a property, this is a book for you. Otherwise, I'm going to say you can probably safely either skip or wait for a trade. I might come back for a trade. I would come back for a trade.
If I was, you know, somebody going through the bookstore really needing a Japanese fix of something, pop culture something, And I saw Samurai Sonya on here, and it didn't have a little sticker on it that said this is part of the Sonyaversal thing. I would probably go, oh, this looks like a really cool samurai book. I don't know why she's called Sonya. I'll pick it up and buy it, and I would probably enjoy it from start to finish, because it looks like they're playing on, again, I wouldn't say tropes, but a lot of the myths and legends and monsters of Japan.
The various trappings of your samurai story are all here.
You know, she's not going to meet up with Gru chat room. She's not going to meet up with Yosagi Yojimbo in this. I'm sorry.
She should totally meet up with Gru.
I mean, it would totally be cool, but I don't think that's going to happen in here. I would pick this up as a trade. Yes. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's an okay book. It's not a horrible book. You can go in and check it out based on our comments. If you're in the show notes for this over at majorspoilers.com, there's a link to Comixology where you can buy a digital copy of this, read it for yourself. Whenever you use the Amazon affiliate links over at majorspoilers.com, a little bit, and I mean a little bit, you're paying $3.99 on this. We're probably getting like 4 cents, I think. No, I think it's four cents, not 14 cents, like 4 cents.
Oh, like 1%.
Yeah.
So buy this comic 110 times.
Yes, we need you to use that link 110 times so we can get the cover price.
$4.40.
Yes, exactly. In the meantime, thank you, everybody, for checking us out this week. Thank you, chat room, for joining us live, and we hope to see you next week. Until then, remember, there's a lot of great comics out there. Go and read some.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. That's Pear.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with Audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.